Mark chapter 1, they have a bye week. Mark chapter 1, we're going to begin reading here in verse 35. Read just five verses of Scripture, and then we'll commence to getting into it and with it. So let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. If you found that this morning, would you say amen? Amen. All right, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. It's that kind of weird time of the year. We've got our first little cool blast that's come in here. Didn't it feel great this morning? Right? We don't know if we want the air conditioning on or if we want just the heater on or what we want on. But somebody said AC. Well, something's on. I don't know, but I'm feeling pretty good up here, so it must be AC. Amen? All right, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. Let's look at it together. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Verse 39, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you today, Lord, that we can gather in your name. We thank you for a church we can come to that believes in the Bible, that preaches the Bible, Lord, that loves Jesus with all of its heart. We're thankful that you put us together with a group of folks that love one another, that want to see the gospel go forth. Dear Lord, as we come today and as we look at this passage this morning, we pray if there are those that are struggling, certainly there are. We pray that your word would encourage them, would bring healing to their spirits, healing to their souls, perhaps even healing to their bodies today. Dear God, we pray that we'd be washed by the word, that we would be set on the right path when we leave here, and Lord, we would seek to glorify and honor who you are the rest of this week. We pray for those that need to make decisions for you, perhaps decisions of salvation, or perhaps they've already received Christ, but they've never followed in believer's baptism, or perhaps they do not have a church home such as this. Father God, we pray we'd honor you with decisions today. May we lay it down. May we pick you up. And Lord, may you just be fresh and real and new to us this morning. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God today. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. Jesus always knows, doesn't he? He always knows what to do. He always knows when. He always knows how, and he always knows why. That's Jesus, man. He just got it all figured out. Well, Pastor, how does he have it always figured out? Because he's in tune with the Heavenly Father, you see. Amen? Temptation continues to buffet Jesus from many sides. We've been through the temptation of Christ after the 40 days of fasting, 40 days and nights in the desert. Well, you know, temptation continues. It's not over for Christ. All the way to the cross, Jesus is tempted. Well, temptation continues to buffet Jesus from many sides. And after a successful day, last week's message, after a successful day in which he, Jesus Christ, casts out demons and heals the sick, Jesus runs the risk of exhaustion. He has pushed himself to the limit. He has taken that earthly body as far as it could go. And he's in kind of limbo here. Does he falter to the exhaustion? Does he lose his perspective? No, Jesus doesn't, does he? Because Jesus needs solitude. Jesus seeks the solitude. And so long before the daylight, on the morning after his long day of spiritual success, of delivering and healing and preaching, after a long day, Jesus goes alone and he prays, as verse 35 tells us. When Jesus' disciples find him, they bring the news that everyone is looking for him. Oh, Christ, Jesus, man, Messiah, Rabbi. Man, we got to tell you, that was awesome. Man, did you see all of that? Did you see the people shout? Did you see them, the tears of joy when they were healed? Did you see the families come together when their loved one had the demons cast out of them? It was amazing, Jesus, and word has spread fast. And Jesus, everybody's looking for you. Everyone. What a crossroads for Jesus. What a crossroads for Him. Except for the hours of solitude in the presence of His Father, Jesus might have succumbed to the seductive appeal of instant success and unbridled popularity by staying in Capernaum. Well, they just come to me. I'll be right here. They'll be right here. We'll put up the big tent, and we'll put crusade out front, and I won't have to do anything. I'll just show up, and this will be the deal. What a crossroads for Christ. But wisdom tells Jesus that today's praise, today's accolades can become tomorrow's accusations. Right? Yeah. And therefore we have verse 38. Just five verses this morning. Two main points, really they're theme points. The first one is this. If you will seek to know, if you will seek to K-N-O-W, know, if you will seek to know and go, then friend, you will undoubtedly grow. You will undoubtedly grow. See, as we look at this, never let security rob you of what God would have you do. Well, I'm not quite tracking with you. What do you mean by security? Well, we could call it comfort. Never let comfort rob you of what God would have you do. We could call it no problems in my life. We could call that security. So let no problems rob you of what God would have you do. We could call it financial health there, couldn't we? Yeah, never let financial health rob you of what God would have you do. I think we all understand what I'm talking about today, right? Security is always a temptation that stands in opposition against risk. Everybody say risk. Yeah, there's some risk in growing for Jesus and going for Christ and being a church that's not afraid to unapologetically preach the Bible. There's a risk in that. There's a risk. See, we can know when to step up or when we need to just rest. Did you know that? Sometimes the Holy Spirit nudges us to rest in our Lord. Sometimes we need to experience solitude, as verse 35 tells us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit nudges us forward through open doors, into ministries, into service, into help. Sometimes the Holy Spirit nudges us there. But I don't think I find it in the Bible that the Holy Spirit tells us to rest in perpetual security so that we never are challenged to go and grow for God. I don't think I find that in the Bible. Christians who have stopped going, Christians who have stopped growing and will not entertain God's leading are the most miserable of creatures. Did you know that? They clog up churches with apathy and indifference. They model paralysis of analysis. Paralysis of analysis. Praise God, we don't have that here. Amen? I don't think we had a members meeting for almost 6 months or longer than 6 months. Never got a phone call, an email. Nobody ever came to my door and said, you know, we really need to analyze this. You know, you can analyze too much. Paralysis of analysis. They model that. These that have stopped going and growing, they model strangulation by stagnation. Well, that was just more honest than what I wanted today. Well, me too. But that's what happens, folks. I tell you today this, praise the Lord, Jesus chooses risk over security, doesn't He? Amen? We can praise the Lord about that. Jesus knows, this is what Christ knows, Jesus knows He's going to experience the rejection of Nazareth. He knows that He's going to experience the fame of Capernaum. He knows it's going to come and go. He knows it's going to ebb and flow. He knows He's going to be up and down, but He goes nonetheless. Amen? How many of us would seek to know and go so as to grow if our going for Christ, if our going forward for Jesus only produced, if it only produced positive, spiritual, successful results, how many of us would seek to know, go, and grow if it only ended up good all the time? All of us here. Yeah, all of us. We would say, man, I want to be on that deal. Yeah, I want to be on that deal. Most of us here would say, yeah, I'll go. I'll seek to know. I'll grow if it's only a positive thing, if it only ends up good all the time. You know what that says about us? You know what that says about us? It says we're more concerned with our popularity than we are about obedience to God. That's what that says about us. Whereas Jesus is more concerned about obedience to God, God's purposes, God's agenda, than he is about his popularity. Amen? Praise the Lord. Back in the height of Billy Graham's ministry, how many of you remember Brother Billy? Amen? He's still living, right? 97, somebody said. Back in the height of Billy Graham's ministry, back in his 40s, his 50s, he's really hitting his stride, man. Back in the height of Billy Graham's ministry, he was invited numerous times to speak at different events, different commencements, different colleges and universities. What a temptation he would struggle with as he thought about all of the glamour, about all of the pomp and all of the circumstance, all of the honorary doctorates that he could have. That, I mean, well, you know, you come and speak for us. Well, you know, my calendar's a little full. Well, Dr. Graham, if you come, we're going to give you another doctorate. You'll have a doctorate from this school and a doctorate from that school. As if he just went around and preached at all of these things. And not to mention the fat honorary checks to come and speak in front of a university. Oh, no pressure. Just come. We're gonna put you up in the nicest hotel. We're gonna drive you around. You're gonna drive up. You want it to fight a crowd. You're not gonna have to shake any hands. We're gonna put you on a stage. You just get up and speak. We're gonna hand you this huge check, and you'll be done with it. Billy's response to one such invite to bring the commencement at a Christian university is as follows. This is what he said. He says, "I'm flattered by your invitation, but I must say no." He says, "You see, God has called me to be an evangelist, preaching the gospel to sinners." He goes on to say this. He goes, "I would find it a joy to be with you, knowing that I would be among Christian friends. But if I said yes to your invitation to come to speak at your commencement address, I would have to turn down an invitation to preach where other men have not preached." For Billy Graham, security did not outweigh the risk of what God had called him to do. But when I think about us, when I think about the New Testament church, when I think about the church in America, when I think about the backslid nature in which we find ourselves today, I think we're more concerned about our security than we are about obedience to Christ. Amen? Well, we need to repent of that today, don't we? See, if you will seek to know and go, then you will grow. But number two, there's only 2 points. Might be a short message. Number two. Well, that would be a first, Pastor. Okay, that'd be a first. Number two, before we can go and grow, we have to seek to know. We have to seek to know. Chapter 1, verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed," church. He prayed. He prayed. Was he tired, Pastor? I think he was tired. Was he exhausted, Pastor? I think he was exhausted. Was he hungry? I think he was hungry. Was he just kind of strung out from all the emotion of the previous day? I think he was. But he pulled himself up, and he got himself alone with his Heavenly Father, and the Scripture says that he prayed. Jesus understood that if he was going to know God's agenda, if he was going to know where to go and how to go and what to do when he got there, he was going to have to pray. Amen? Busy day lay ahead of him. People had all kinds of needs that only Jesus can meet. Amen? I mean, there's just some things only Christ can meet. Amen? Well, there were a lot of people pushing in from all kinds of directions. I asked you this morning, how many of you have a busy day tomorrow morning? Probably some of you here do, don't you? A busy day, a busy week. You know, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, the next month's going to be real busy. Or the next 3 months. Man, there's some things going on at my job. The next 6 months are going to be crazy at my place of employment. Yeah. How many of you have a busy day tomorrow morning? Are there people in your life that have needs that only you can satisfy? Well, I find that to be true in my own life. You know what we can all hold on to? We can hold on to this. If you're going to be what you ought to be publicly, then you must, my friend, get along with God privately at the beginning of each day. At the beginning of each day. There is something about spending time with God in prayer. Something about it. Something about it. Prayer seems to give us peace in the midst of the storm. Prayer seems to give us assurance in the sea of doubt. There's just something about getting alone with God, just me and Him, not corporate prayer. Not that there's anything wrong with corporate prayer. We do corporately pray here, amen? Tonight we'll be doing it. Wednesday night we'll be doing it. Yesterday morning, Saturday morning, we had a men's prayer time and breakfast. We believe in corporate prayer, but we've got to get alone with God. If you're going to be what you ought to be publicly, then you must get alone with God privately. When we pray, something happens, doesn't it? Pressures, demands, even potential failures are now viewed after we pray through spiritual eyes. We have a different perspective on things, don't we? The nerves and the anxiety just kind of go away, don't they? Everything just seems like it's going to be okay, even when it's not, isn't it? When we pray. Praise the Lord, we can draw from the Heavenly Father the strength and power we need for each new day. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. A good friend of mine by the name of Danny Biddy, pastor friend, he pastors over on the southeast side of Houston at Old River Baptist Church in Mount Bellevue, Texas. He writes this. He says, I was traveling through Nacogdoches one day. How many of you know where that is? Nacogdoches? Yeah. Traveling through Nacogdoches one day, and I noticed a sign in front of an Exxon gas station. Some of you may have seen the same sign. Let me know after the service if you did. It says, on the sign were these words, put God in your heart and a tiger in your tank. Danny goes on to write, he says, I guess you might say that the station manager was sold on his God and his gasoline. Amen? And then he goes on to write, he says, have you ever noticed how many people seem to be running around with a full tank and an empty heart? A full tank and an empty heart. That's somewhat like the little boy who's got one shoe nailed to the floor, and all the little boy seems to be able to do is do what? Run around in circles. Yeah. Psalm chapter 119, verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Oh, me or amen. Amen. See, church, Jesus understood that if he was going to follow God's agenda, then he had to pray. Because of Jesus' ministry to humanity, he had many people seeking to influence the direction of his life, but there was only one voice that he would be obedient to, God the Father. The disciples wanted Jesus to go where the crowds were, as verse 37 tells us. The crowds wanted to crown Jesus a political king. Another gospel, John's gospel, John 6:15 says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He didn't come to be a political king. He came to die on the cross for my sin and your sin. Amen? Satan wanted Jesus to compromise in order to draw a following for himself instead of carrying out God's perfect will and plan for the salvation of man. Boy, everybody wanted him to do something different. Jesus knew and was continually reminded of the truth as he prayed that he was not necessarily to attract a crowd. Nothing wrong with a crowd, but that's not why he had come necessarily to attract a crowd, but to follow his Father's agenda for his ministry and be the Lamb that was slain. Amen? Jesus prayed before he called his disciples. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." That's what prayer enabled Jesus to do. But also prayer enabled Jesus' ultimate obedience to go to the cross. Luke 22, 41 and 42 says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." It's amazing what prayer will enable us to do. Prayer enabled Jesus' ultimate obedience to go to the cross. He did it before he called his disciples. But friends, prayer kept Jesus on the cross until he died, despite the excruciating pain and the weight of mine and your sin upon his heart. Luke 23, 34 says, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." How many of you today would say, "Pastor, I really do want to seek to pray. Pastor, I want to seek to obey God. Pastor, I want to seek to go and grow for the Lord. I want to seek to be used, but you got to understand something about my life, Pastor. I've been dealt a tough hand in life." "Oh, Pastor. Pastor, I would do this, but I don't know if God could use me anymore." Some of us are sitting here, and some of us, as they listen to this on the internet, and some of those, as they receive a copy of this from a friend, about right here, right now, in the message, I would ask you the question, have you been sucked in by the world's lies? Do you feel washed up, lying in your consequences of sin and mistakes? Are you simply a victim of being blown over by life's circumstances? I would ask you that today. And then I would say this to you. I would encourage you not to just sit and stare, but to snap out of it. Amen? Just snap out of it. God's got a plan for you. You say, "Pastor, man, I've done some crazies. I've done some sinful stuff. I've really been on the wrong side, and I've come full circle. I'm back, but I just don't know if I could pray, if I could seek, if I could go, if I could grow. I know I want to, but you just don't understand." Oh, Jesus understands, friend. Jesus understands. And I would encourage you to not just sit and stare, but to snap out of it. Amen? You need to sing your praises and prayers to God Almighty. He's here to hear you, man. He's here to listen to you. He wants to know about you, amen? He wants to help you. That's my Jesus. That's the Jesus of the Bible. In Max Lucado's book entitled In the Eye of the Storm, there's a story told by a reporter about a bird by the name of Chippy the parakeet. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage, and the next, he was sucked in, he was washed up, and he was ultimately blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage. Those of you with birds, you know what I'm talking about. You got to clean the cage every now and then, right? Yeah. The owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose, so it was just straight hose, you know, flowing full force of the vacuum. And she stuck it in the cage to begin to clean Chippy's cage out. But lo and behold, as fate would have it, the phone rang. And she put the hose down for just a second, and she turned to pick up the phone. She barely had said hello when Chippy got sucked in, folks. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag, and there was Chippy. He was still alive, but he's stunned now, right? Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, held Chippy under the running water, then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer. And she blasted the pet with hot air. Poor, poor Chippy the parakeet. Never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. That may be you today. Now, I don't know if the parakeet ever made it, but friend, there is somebody inside of you that is greater than being sucked in, washed up, and blown over. His name is Christ. And you can go on. And you can snap out of it. Amen today? Well, you absolutely can. Why do we not pray to know so that we can go and therefore grow? The truth is that when we tap into the power of prayer, intercessory, worshipful, one-on-one, in solitude prayer, when we begin to be nudged by the Holy Spirit here, and directed by the Word of God there, and illumined to take action because of a personal prayer life, you know what happens to us? We become more a part of the preaching and healing ministry that is going on right here in the New Testament that we read about. So why do we not pray? Well, because we just don't believe in the power of prayer? Oh, friend, don't be like that. Read your Bible. The Bible's full of answered prayer. Well, Pastor, you know, we don't pray because we've not experienced the power of prayer. Friend, if you're here today, I'll be real honest with you. You've experienced the power of prayer. You got breath in your lungs this morning. Oh, my friend, you've experienced the power of prayer. You've ever been sick and made well, you've experienced the power of prayer. Right? Well, I want to tell you, God, there is power in prayer. Why do we not pray? Because we don't know how to talk to God, Pastor. We just don't know how to talk to God in prayer. Don't need a theological education. Don't need a bunch of books. Don't need programs. You just need to get alone with God and talk. Amen? Just let it out. Just let it out. I think this is the reason why we don't pray, though. Why do we not pray? We're just too busy to pray. Just too busy. This story is told of a small town. Small town. Had been a dry town, but the county decided they needed to be a wet county. And so the town did all they could, but eventually a nightclub was built right on Main Street, which offered club memberships, right? Come and imbibe the spirits of alcohol. Different spirit, but spirits nonetheless. Members of one of the churches in the area were so disturbed that they conducted all-night prayer meetings. They would walk Main Street and they would pray. They would try to help those that came out so that they wouldn't drive drunk and kill somebody, or kill themselves. And the bar owner knew what they were doing, and you know, they just kind of put up with each other, so to speak. But then one day, a big old thunderstorm rolled into town, and the lightning from that thunderstorm struck that establishment. And once that 80 proof and 100 proof lit, she burnt down to the ground. Well, the bar owner, he hired a lawyer, and he sued the church members for damages. Well, it gets even better. The church members hired a lawyer and said it wasn't their fault. And after a whole lot of money had been slung at lawyers and a whole lot of silliness had been conducted in the court, finally, the judge presiding over the case declared this: "It is the opinion of this court that wherever the guilt may lie, the tavern keeper is the one who really believes in prayer, while the church members do not." Right? I tell you that to tell you this, folks. This is not some kind of religious exercise we're talking about. This is communing with Almighty God. And the Bible says, he that has faith like a mustard seed can do what? Move a mountain. There's power in prayer. You know where you're at. You know what you need to do. You know what God is laying upon your heart. Let's go to him in prayer right now and see what God has for us today. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together again. We thank you that we can come and sing praises to your name, that we can pray, that we can preach, hear a word from your Bible. Lord, you know who we have here today. Some struggle with prayer because of busyness. Some struggle with prayer because of lack of faith. Some struggle with prayer because of insecurity and how to talk with you. Some just struggle with prayer. Lord, may you have your way with us during this time of invitation. And whatever we're struggling with, may we lay it down at the altar today. And Lord, may we leave this place this morning with a spring and some unction and some drive within us to commune with you daily, privately, in solitude. May we be more like Christ. May we seek to know so that we can go for you and grow in the process. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. We're going to have a time of invitation. Deacons, if you'll come and